And we are joined now by Ashley Campbell, Orange County Conservative. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing well.
I
Thank
just
you.
walked
How
into
are
the
you?
studio. I'm good.
Yeah, good.
It's a horrible day out there.
I know. I
Yeah.
mean, I guess it's going to be like this
For a
for
couple of days.
a while.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it's fine.
my chickens hate it, but at least it's warm, I guess. That's my silver lining.
Yeah. Do they have to stay outside or?
They do. Yeah, they free range around our
Okay.
backyard, and so they can get under trees and
Okay, that's
shelter and
fair.
stuff and get out of the rain,
I've got a
but
friend who lives nearby who's just starting to raise chickens. So she's got like these tiny little adorable baby
Oh
chicks, but they're all
yeah.
inside right now because they're
Oh,
under
right.
the heat lamp. I
Yes.
don't know what happens when they get big. They have to go outside forever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when they're that small, they don't have the feathers to
Right.
maintain their body temperature properly. So you gotta keep them inside, and unless it's really hot, they have to be like 90 degrees or
Oh,
something
wow.
for
But then you
baby
can,
chicks.
yeah.
And then as they get their feathers, you can move them outside.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. So we're talking about politics. I don't know
Right.
how to segue from
Not
that
chickens.
into, there's probably some way or other, but it's too dreary outside to
Probably some
brainstorm.
metaphor like chickens coming home to roost or
Ooh,
something
there you
like
go.
that. Yeah, I don't
Yeah.
know.
And that's just depressing. Okay,
Could
so
be.
yeah. All right, so let's start by talking about the Trump-Russia scandal, which
Sure.
has people now, actually some conservatives have mentioned the I word, which is impeachment. Obviously, we're not to that
Yeah.
point yet, but we're starting to get to one line of revelations after another, and it's not. I think Trump's people were hoping that this would. That this foreign trip for a week and a half would sort of push the scandal news off of the front pages, and that hasn't happened. So, what are your thoughts on
Right.
this? I know everyone's sort of a whole bunch of different minds on this right now.
Yes, I mean it's a really interesting question because, of course, if there are charges, like a criminal act or something like that, that's the would be the suitable basis for impeachment, then, I think that it shouldn't be a partisan issue
Yeah.
necessarily. Like Republicans should be able to take this seriously. But because it is essentially the overturning of the results of an election, it's got to be considered a last resort.
Right.
And a lot of the rhetoric that seems to follow this primarily from politicians is kind of like, let's get going with this now. It's very, gung-ho and not maybe as deliberative as it could be.
Yeah. It is going to be interesting because, I mean, obviously it shouldn't be partisan, but it always is. And I think that's human
Yes,
nature. Like
sure.
we tend to side with the people that are on our side and give them the benefit of the doubt. And if it's someone who's on the other side, then we'd give them absolutely no benefit of the doubt at all.
Yeah.
But this is really interesting to me. And I was talking about this last week or 2 weeks, I don't even remember how long it was ago, with a couple of people. We had Scott Washington in here, and he
Oh,
does sort
sure.
of
Yeah.
historical stuff. And a couple of other people. This is, and I did some sort of background research on this because the thought occurred to me, and I was like, that can't possibly be true. And then I looked, and it was that there have been a number of different times throughout American history where there have been legitimate concerns that the president might have done something impeachment worthy. But literally every single time that's happened up until right now, the opposition party has been in charge of Congress. This is the first time that
I
we've been
see.
to this point, and the president's party has also controlled Congress. So every other time, whether it was Clinton in '98, or if you want to throw Iran-Contra in there, or
Yeah.
Nixon, or trying to remember
Johnson, right?
Andrew Johnson, right? There
Yeah.
were a couple of other ones that we don't usually talk about. James Buchanan. There was an
Right.
investigation into Buchanan that uncovered a lot of corruption. There was talk
Yes.
about Ulysses S. Grant. Because there was
Right.
corruption in his administration. But every single one of those times, it was the other side that was in charge of Congress, with zero exceptions, which fascinated me. Because we usually, like, you look at American history, we usually don't see that. Like, usually you don't have divided government. It just so happens that every single time. And so now this is uncharted territory. So I'm interested in seeing what happens.
Oh, yeah. No, that's an interesting factor I didn't even think about when I was just reading up on impeachment, or actually different methods of removing a president from office, because you also, I mean, you have the impeachment, and, you know, it's written in the Constitution where it's treason, bribery, high crimes and misdemeanors,
whatever that means. Totally undefined, right, exactly.
And then I've also seen some folks, writers for like the New York Times or New Yorker and such, explore this concept of, or the option for the 25th Amendment.
The 25th Amendment. Is that just declaring him unfit to serve or something like that?
Right. Well, I think the president can't execute the duties of his office, essentially.
Right.
So it was passed after the JFK assassination.
Right.
And it's really meant to be invoked when there are situations like Woodrow Wilson when he had his stroke, for example. But it requires the vice president and half the cabinet to submit a petition to Congress in order for the vice president to assume the role of president, you know, immediately.
Yeah.
If the president is incapacitated or killed for any reason.
Right.
And so it was basically meant to clarify that role of secession and the immediate transfer of power. But that doesn't seem like a very likely option.
That,
just
to me, would be a coup.
It is.
Wouldn't it? Yeah.
It is a bit of a soft coup. I mean, I can't really imagine Mike Pence and half the cabinets going to Congress.
Right.
And then I think 2/3 of each house have to vote.
Oh, wait, hang on a second. Of course, this is the longest paragraph.
Sure.
whenever the vice president and a majority of either the principal's office of the executive departments or of other such body or of such other body as Congress may by law provide transmit to the president pro tem of the Senate and the Speaker of the House their written declaration that the president is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office, the vice president shall immediately assume the powers of the duties of the office as acting president. Thereafter, when the president, so there's no congressional authorization required there. Next paragraph,
right.
Thereafter, when the president transmits to the president pro tem and the speaker of the house his written declaration that no inability exists, he shall resume the powers and duties of his office unless the vice president and a majority of unless there's a conflict, and then Congress shall decide the issue if you have the president with one letter and the vice president and six of his cabinet members with the other,
right?
Then it's up to Congress to decide.
Right. If nobody budges.
If nobody budges,
I guess,
right,
is the point there.
Yeah.
So, but it also doesn't seem to be.
And it is a 2/3 vote. You're right.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
So it seems not to be meant for something like, people in the inner circle of the executive branch consider the president incompetent for some, nearly undefinable reason. So as you said, it does seem more like a coup.
Yeah,
than
I do like the fact that they did include the Congress has to vote 2/3 if there's a conflict. Hopefully that would stave off the possibility of something like that happening.
Right, exactly. Although it's interesting, when I was looking into this, I mean, even going back to the more, traditional way we think of impeachment, the treason, bribery, and high crimes and misdemeanors option, it seems like the founders sort of thought that impeachment could be more of a regular thing.
Yes.
I mean, not quite regular, and not just for the president, but, for judges and other federal offices as well. And extended it to even things like terms like maladministration at first, which was ultimately nixed in favor of more Well, still vague language, but not quite that
yeah.
broad.
I think that's a really yeah. good point, though. And I mean, not necessarily applicable in this case, but reading like the Federalist Papers, for instance,
right.
and talking about like Madison and Hamilton talking about checks and balances and keeping the three branches equal. They talked about impeachment a surprising amount when
sure.
debating and writing and drafting and talking about the Constitution at the time that it was written. Certainly that suggests that they thought it would be used more than it actually was. Like that was a really strong check of Congress on the other two branches.
Right.
And then they haven't really used it all that much.
No, exactly.
Yeah, that is actually a really interesting point. Of course, it is the same generation that had Thomas Jefferson sitting in France saying, we need a revolution every 17 years and a new constitution. So
right.
things developed a little bit differently, but yeah.
And I think it also, they are dealing with an executive branch that, or designing with mm-hmm. an executive branch,
new.
Rather,
yeah.
that didn't have the as expansive powers as we see now. So if you did have a president removed by impeachment, then it wouldn't necessarily be this. I mean, I think now we just feel it's sort of this catastrophic event.
Yes.
And would rend the nation apart. I guess maybe I tend to take a little bit of a more or just a less catastrophic view of it. I mean, if that were to happen, if President Trump was removed from office, then I don't think it would necessarily be the end of the world. I kind of think that I've actually seen conservative commentators talk about how, you know, this would just be terrible because there people who voted for Trump, they already feel disaffected and that,
mm-hmm.
you know, their voices don't count and that the ballot box is really meaningless and that they would feel even more like that if they're, you know, the guy that they voted for to drain the swamp or, you know, however you want to look at it, to disrupt the system was removed from office by, you know, they would inevitably see it as a political elite
right,
removing him
right.
from office. And they would just double down on that behavior and that it could potentially, you know, get violent or something like that. I kind of think that's a little hyperbolic. I feel as if even if this were to happen, you know, again, as a total last resort, then there would be repercussions, but we would see them at the ballot box. I think people who are sympathetic toward Trump, they're really loyal Trump supporters, or just people with that sort of disaffected, you know, against the political elite mm-hmm. mindset would still just pursue trying to get the Republicans that they see are just, you know, do nothing, like they're not reforming healthcare in the way that they were elected to do in the minds of these voters, or they're not doing tax reform, or they're not taking border security seriously enough, that they would just try to get them voted out of office and replace them rather than have chaos in the streets or something like that. So I think that's a little bit hyperbolic. I don't think we're quite that angry, resentful, divided as a country yet.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
don't
just
say
my
yet.
View.
That's
well,
no, this is as bad as it's going to get, and it's not as bad as you thought.
No,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
of course, it's like nothing. You, I just say that because we
did
have
no,
a civil
know,
war once,
yeah,
but hopefully never again.
Yeah.
So it's certainly not gotten that bad.
Speaking with Ashley Campbell. Okay, so I know sort of talking with you back in 2016. I don't know who you actually voted for, but I know you weren't a big fan of Trump. So I have to ask, are you surprised? And if you pose the same question to me, I honestly don't know how I would answer this question. I'm not 100% sure, but are you surprised that people are on both sides of the aisle are seriously talking about impeachment this early in the Trump administration?
This early, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, we're barely out of the magical 100-day
right.
Window. But at the same time, at least I feel like there were a considerable number of voices on the left that just wanted to go with proceed with impeachment, you know, on November 10th.
Oh, like right away, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean,
or right after inauguration.
Public Policy Polling had that survey on like January 21st that had 40% of Americans already wanting to impeach. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, so there is that sort of snapshot of public sentiment, but I think that there are a lot of Republicans in Washington that either think that this is a way that they're going to save face and win re-election and maintain their electorate's good graces, which I don't think will work, or that they're just doing this to be take this, you know, this seriously, because maybe they didn't want Trump, they weren't enthusiastic about him in the first place, but I think that's ultimately would just come back to bite them. Although that sounds like I'm refuting what I just said at the beginning, which is that it shouldn't be a partisan issue. I mean, they should absolutely take it seriously. But then again, I think that some of their posturing is still, it's posturing. I mean, it still could be political.
When you're in Congress, I mean, it's kind of what you want. Like, it's why we have elections in the first place, because we want the people who represent us to be accountable, which unfortunately means every single decision that people make in Congress, at least part of their minds, they're thinking about how is this going to come back to bite me in November.
Right, yeah. Exactly. I mean, that said, I think with anything, with Trump, anything is possible, because there have been mornings where recently where I've just gotten up and I've checked Twitter just to see, is Trump still president?
What happened last night?
Did he just resign in a tweet at 3 o'clock in the morning? I mean, I think it's possible.
Yeah, yeah.
Not probable.
Oh, it would be by Twitter, wouldn't it, if he did?
Yeah,
big time.
You know it, yeah. So, I mean, he's very, very unpredictable. I will say that. And I mean, that's what he was, in the minds of a lot of his voters, was
elected to
keep things, you know, as unstable as we see them now. So, you know, I think that because, you know, this independent counsel investigation and the Russian collusion matter, and then the whole, you know, the Comey situation, you know, is there any sort of tie there as far as obstruction of justice or anything else, is going to take months and months to play out. So either we're going to either settle into it and that will become our new normal, because this can take years. I mean, like with Watergate, that took two years before Nixon resigned, I think. So it took a long time. And, it's hard to say if that's going to become the new normal, all this constant crisis, or if it will just things will eventually settle down and it will more resemble a normal administration.
Yeah, we got to wrap up here in a second, but before we do, I know you really wanted to talk about this. Should we all get behind The Rock in 2020?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
is he the one who's going to bring the country together?
To be honest, I haven't heard. I just barely heard a mention of this, but he's a very popular figure. So, you know, him and Tom Hanks.
I like him so far.
Oh,
Tom Hanks, too?
Yeah, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I mean, the last thing I saw Tom Hanks in was Sully. He was good in that.
Right.
If he can land the plane in the Hudson, he can run
the
country.
I don't think he's played president, though. So, you know, maybe he'll squeeze in a role as president between now and then, and that'll solidify his election. But The Rock is extremely charismatic guy, and I'm sure, I mean, now, you know, it's like any celebrity, I feel like any celebrity could be president now, you know, not just any kid growing up, but more like any celebrity.
You have to be a celebrity, and then you can be president.
President,
there
yeah.
There you go.
So we'll see. Hopefully it's not going to turn into something like Idiocracy.
Oh, God.
If you've ever seen
that
movie.
Yes, yes.
All right. But, yeah, I think we'll avoid that, though.
All right, hopefully. Ashley Campbell, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.